This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You may have heard about this. Dolce & Gabbana ran into a spot of controversy earlier in the week. So they have this massive 500-look fashion show. It's going to be the greatest show in China, and it was going to be in Shanghai. And that has been abruptly called off.
And it's because of a series of ads that they published on their social media website, Weibo, on Monday, showing a Chinese model using chopsticks to try to eat a pizza, a cannoli, and spaghetti. So the users on that social media website accused the label of trivializing China's culture and depicting Chinese women in a racist way. The video was taken down within 24 hours, but it had already been shared widely on social media, where the hashtag boycott Dolce began to circulate.
So this mistake was compounded when screenshots were circulated online of a private Instagram conversation in which the designer Stefano Gabbana appeared to make a reference to, and I'm quoting him here, China ignorant, dirty, smelling mafia, and used the smiling poo emoji to describe the country. The brand said Gabbana's account had been hacked, but nobody's really buying that.
Well, that's always the easiest reason to go to. So some of China's biggest celebrities had been billed to attend the catwalk show, but on Wednesday, many announced their withdrawal. Says one of the biggest singers in China, Wang Junkai, "Our mother country is more important than anything. We appreciate the vigor and beauty of our cultural heritage." He's also terminated his agreement with the DNG as an ambassador.
Li Bingbing told her 42 million fans on Weibo, "I love my mother country," while fellow actor Talu Wang posted, "Respect is more important than anything."
And as politics go, China's Communist Youth League entered the fray, posting on Weibo that foreign companies operating in China should respect China and respect Chinese people.
Now, of course, this isn't the first time the brand has been embroiled in a public outcry on this scale. In April 2017, it published a campaign on Weibo depicting Beijing as an underdeveloped city. The post was deleted after complaints. They've also had other controversies in the past. I don't really want to highlight them, but if you were to just do a quick Google about the things that Stefano Gabbana has had to say online and on social media, you will know that this is not new behavior.
Yeah, so this controversy, of course, comes with financial consequences. So the company has about 25 shops in 25 cities. Chinese e-commerce sites have already removed Dolce & Gabbana products. And in the latest attempt to stem the fury against their brand, the two founders appeared in a video apology seated behind a table addressing Chinese customers directly.
So what I'm curious about this is whether or not this boycott is going to work. I mean, it's a very quick thing nowadays. I think people understand that you hit people where it hurts, and that's the wallet. But I want to know whether it's going to stick, right?
Yeah.
I think it is going to, simply because the China market is so huge.
And also because I think this time it's more concerted. It has the buy-in of regular consumers. It has the buy-in from China's biggest celebrities. And rumor has it that maybe it even has the influence from the Chinese government itself, right?
Yes, it does. Let us know what you think. Were you aware of this controversy? And for that matter, do you think this is good reason to boycott a brand when they've kind of been overtly racist? Have you boycotted a brand before? Do you think it works? You can call us 7733-2900 to let us know. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's cross over now to Gurmit Gill, who works on brand strategies over at Fusion Brand. Gurmit, thank you for joining us on the program. Let's start with looking at things closer to home. Do Malaysians tend to boycott brands?
Yes, actually, to be honest, Malaysians do boycott brands, and this is normally emotionally charged decisions that are made based on, you know, happenings around the world. I mean, you know, the biggest case would be how in 2017 and 2014, where, you know, there's this huge backlash against McDonald's Malaysia because of links to the Jews. And, you know, a lot of Malaysians were very passionate about this topic, started boycotting the brand, and, you know, sales in McDonald's dropped. But of course, McDonald's recovered very quickly eventually after that. And then more recently, as you know, we've even got a local brand like, you know, Alif Shukri, who skirted, you know, controversy on a show recently. And, you know, there have also been calls on social media, on his Instagram, on Facebook, a lot of traction gained whereby consumers are there saying, we need to boycott the brand because he's being very insensitive to, you know, certain people and races.
What else have you found to be the reasons behind the boycott, whether it happens here in Malaysia or in other countries?
So if we're talking from the Malaysian context, it would be more on emotionally charged and cultural issues, especially if someone feels very passionate about the brand and that brand has had a situation where, you know, the image has been tarnished and people react to it. Now, globally, you know, there'll be more bigger topics that would affect, would be reasons for a brand boycott. Say, for example, something to do with sustainability. Now, that's a big, big, big issue right now. And if a brand is found to have a negative impact on the environment, you know, and then there'll also be calls for a boycott there as well. So if we're looking more in the Malaysian or Asian context, it tends to be more cultural and emotional. And this applies to what's happening right now in China with D&G.
So how big does a boycott have to be for there to be an impact on the brand? I mean, I suppose the question here really is, how effective are boycotts?
Right. The impact that a boycott has on a brand all depends on, number one, who the brand is, right? The size of the brand, the size of its market, and, you know, what was the sequence of events behind the boycott. So say, for example, something like what's happening to Dolce & Gabbana right now. China is a big market for luxury goods, really big market for luxury goods. And what's happened right now is definitely going to have a big impact because you've got the likes of people on, you know, the management from Alibaba and all these online sites have taken out all SKUs, all D&G SKUs from their online websites. And that's going to have a big impact on their sales because brands like D&G rely on the lucrative Chinese market. So it's going to be it's going to take a hit, and it will be a while for you know, D&G to recover from it. For some other brands out there, it might have a limited impact. Say, for example, you know, it just goes by and, you know, everyone sort of patronizes the brands again. So, you know, it doesn't have much of a dent on their sales or bottom line. So, again, it all depends on what is the boycott all about, who the brand is, and the markets affected.
So as you said, there is going to be some short-term effect on D&G, but it's a very established brand and they've been around for a really long time. What's the likelihood of them bouncing back from this?
Well, as long as a brand has all the right systems and processes in place, a brand that has really strong brand equity, they will be able to bounce back almost immediately. And it also depends on how these brands manage the crisis. So, you know, if they are honest, transparent, apologetic, immediately corrections can be made. So it all depends, again, on what approach a brand takes. For a lot of the big brands, yes, you're right, you know, they tend to bounce back really, really quickly because it doesn't really impact them as much, as long as, you know, they do it the right way. In the case of D&G, I think if it was just, you know, to do with the subject matter being the three videos, where the Chinese got insulted because the way the model's using the chopsticks and whatnot, I don't think it would have been that bad. But what made it really bad was, you know, the co-founder's Instagram messages were leaked out and the stuff he said about the Chinese and China as a country. Now, that was the one that, you know, made the major impact right now.
Exactly. I mean, in the case of Dolce & Gabbana, it's exactly that, right? It became very personal because the comments were seen to be coming from the designers and founders themselves. Does that make the damage harder to repair?
Yep, you're right. The organization is the brand. And the person who carries the most weight, who is most responsible, and is also the person who can rectify the situation really quickly, is the founders or the CEO or the person in charge of the brand or that organization. Now, I'll give you an example. What happened, you know, say for example, you know, AirAsia had that air crash a year ago, 2-3 years ago, and you had Tony Fernandez, who was there at the site, trying to calm the family members, you know, who were there, who were on board and whatnot. And he took charge of the entire situation, and that helped rectify the situation. It minimized the damage. And that's the sort of caliber we need from these sort of thought leaders who take charge, who know. I mean, it's very simple. All we have to do is just follow the Japanese model. Anytime there is an issue, the Japanese take full responsibility they apologize. You know, some of them go to the extent of resigning just so that, you know, they don't want it to have a bigger impact on the brand. And these are things that we should look at as well.
Gurmit, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Gurmit Gill from Fusion Brand speaking to us about the effects of brand boycotting. We have some messages that have come in with regard to how we spend online or to shopping habits as a whole, because we were talking about Black Friday a little bit earlier. Daniel says, I didn't manage to buy a Google Pixel book during the 11/11 sale because my wife changed my calendar, so I missed it. I know. And we've also got Shah, who says, I'm on my way to buy a new racket, and that's for badminton, which I've been needing. Pretty sure, though, I'm going to come out with more than just a long stick of steel. On a side note, we can control our urge to spend by reducing our liquidity, like park your money where the money will not be able to cash out, for example, your mother's bank account.
Another good idea. Thank you.
Yes, all these tips coming through to help us shopaholics, I think, handle ourselves. Now, when it comes to Dolce and Gabbana, though, you can also let us know what you think. I mean, do you think the brand was out of line? Would you boycott them because of this? Do you think boycotts work? You can tell us. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can tweet us at BFM Radio also.
Well, do you also think if D&G will stand for Dolce & Gabbana, or in the future if it will stand for Dead & Gone?
Lovely.
Yay.
What a lovely closer. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.